deeply in love with them.
Girls,
13. Oh, sure. I was, when I was 8 years old, I had a beautiful girlfriend. Oh, she was so magnificent, objectively beautiful. You have no idea.
The eye of the artist then?
No. She was just, I always liked pretty girls, you know. I mean, I never showed up with anybody who was not beautiful. I always got the most beautiful girls. And when I was 13, I walked with this my first out from home. I took this friend of mine, or he took me, and we walked into one part of Austria. We took the train to the border of, maybe let's say, the border of Pennsylvania, and walked into Ohio. Only you have to reduce this space 100 times, you understand? You have to reduce it. So this was our first being by ourselves, and I remember, I never forgot it. It was just magnificent. We finally came to the big lake and walked around, and we walked around to the castles, and then came back. I don't know how long the trip was. Maybe it was a few days, or maybe it was a week. Then my second memorable trip was with my brother. Now, again, I want to answer your question. I was very close to my mother and father, but as a child, you don't know how close you are. With other words, it doesn't count. Mm-hmm. You understand that? How much?
Normal emotions for them as we get older.
Or you don't even, they don't want to stop you. You don't even think that you have normal emotions. Your child thinks that you have normal emotions towards my parents. It doesn't count.
With other words,
of course, there are certain things that you remember with your father when he took my hand when I was small and we walked into realities that most people thought were just dreadful. But for me, it was very exciting. Today, this kind of excitement towards the reality that he liked, I also like, but there's nothing to do. I would have found it myself, you understand? It's just coincidental that we like the same realities. But there is no conscious, when you're a child, there's no conscious attitude or belonging to your parents. Now, the same thing is with your brother. There is absolutely less belonging to my brother than to my parents. Because he was 1 year older, I don't know if you have the same experience, but once you're only 1 year older, or maybe a few, you have nothing to do, I don't know if you were in class, with the people that are a year or younger. I don't know if it's in school. You have absolutely nothing to do with them. With other words, his friends were his friends, and I had nothing to do with them.
I'm a twin.
You really? That's a very, very important. Very, very, very important. Very important phenomenon. But I don't want to ask you. That would be very, very interesting.
My brothers are 20 months apart. Similar situation probably as you and your brother.
Yeah.
And I think when they were younger, they did share a lot.
Yes.
It was artificial, because now they realize how very different they are.
Yeah, yes.
It was because of just being physically
together. Physically together in games.
Right.
And you are, when you are younger, you are more on equal age. But once you go through puberty, the age difference becomes gigantic,
right,
and it never heals. Mm-hmm. It never heals. It's like a wound that never heals. And so I had sometimes tremendous hate with my brothers. We fought like Cain and Abel. Without silence, we just crawled, and, you know, not like other people have fights. I say always to a brother and sister, brother and to you, or sometimes fight. He says, yeah, we fight sometimes. But there was a real desperate relationship between each other. But still, I walked with him through around Austria. That was a very memorable occasion. Now, I think I was maybe 15 years old then. And the girls I got...
Were you formally finished with school yet?
No, this was just a vacation.
On
vacations.
And the girls?
The girls I got from my cousins, you know, with whom I was some sort of, we held hands and we kissed, and there was some sort of an incestual relationship. I don't know if she ever remembers. She just visited me recently in the fall from Australia. But she, of course, she remembers also. But the girls were from her class, and they were very beautiful, very many, and we played together. And so I had this immediate relationship. And so I had this intense relationship with my friend, Willy Maber, with whom I went to school mostly all the time, first in elementary school, then in college. I hate to use the word high school, because my school that I went to has absolutely nothing to do with high school. High school is what is called in Europe Hauptschule, where people go who probably afford it or don't have the brilliance of the mind to stand the school. And sometimes they go only to the fifth grade, and then they go into a trade school. Was it a gymnasium? Well, how can you compare a realcio, which is a parallel school of, for one, you get predestined to become a doctor, a philosopher, chemist, you know, when you go to the gymnasium, and the other, the realcio, you become an architect, and so on and so on.
What did you choose? Do you choose a field to already study?
That's one thing is in Europe, you have to choose very, very early which direction in life. And seemingly, it is good, you understand, that you, it's good and it's bad, but I wouldn't condemn it completely. Again, I want to come back to the childhood stories. My aunts were very, seemingly very brilliant, because they told us when we were very small the picture of Dorian Gray when I was 7, and I think it was the most impressive story in my life. And other surrealistic, mystic stories like The Golem was very influential by influence I mean that there are certain guideposts that direct you towards what you're supposed to be. It's not that the guideposts change you, they just direct you, and you pick the guidepost by what you are. And that's the reason why I try to get this into this age. What I read, and I read Freud, I read Stefan Zweig, I loved him, I liked the psychoanalysis and treating reality or people like Chekhov does, you know, in this objective schnitzler where you see. What do you want to say? For an American, Austria is where you dance in the street and it is crowned by the Habsburg monarchy. That has absolutely nothing to do with my consciousness of Vienna. It was a class struggle, anti-Semitic society which had molded as my wife. Was from the time I was born. I was born in violence. With other words, there still was, believe it or not, I found out not very long time ago that I was born when the war was still going on. I thought I was born after I was born when Franz Joseph was still alive. But there was the revolution, there was no food, then later on there was some sort of a conjuncture, how do you call that, when the times are
going up. Uprising. There was an improvement in the times? Or?
Yes, a financial improvement for a short time.
Yeah, there was a short
time. A recession, what's the opposite of a recession? Conjuncture, we call it conjuncture, conjuncture, what is that, what is it? What's the opposite of depression?
Time of prosperity.
Prosperity, that's it. Prosperity. But then, this prosperity already...
It was very short-lived.
Short-lived, but it was never without the struggle between the socialists and the Christian Democrats,
right.
And the making of the Nazis, and then it became, the times became worse and worse, and then there was, in my time, again, that's what I say to Dick, is if Hitler wouldn't have come, all the blessings wouldn't have been. Vienna lives today better than it has ever lived in the whole history of Europe. And why? Because of the war. And why am I here? Because of Hitler. So you can count all these people did not die for nothing. They died to create something very powerful. It's very, very difficult to understand, to accept, but this is the fundamental truth. Is when I painted my parents' painting, I did not know that only will I not paint a monument to my parents who were killed, but I dealt with the shall I give you my names? I dealt with the very relationship between a son and their parents. Never mind that they are dead, if they were killed. You understand? So, but all this power that was, this evil, that insane evil, that you can say, this stupid concept of Nixon's governorship, you know, of Ehrlichman, that is like Hitler. It's a lot of crap. It has nothing to do with Hitler. Absolutely, all these people have nothing to do with Goering or Goebbels. So why mention it? Why mention it? It has absolutely nothing to do with it.
Can I move you ahead now?
Yes.
A little bit later, in terms of discussing your coming to America, and let's move from there now. We have so much about your background, and I know you could get one and one, but let's hear more about your coming to America.
I want to say that I think we should emphasize the background, because nobody knows, I've never talked to anybody as profusely as I do to you, to your background, because when we come to the foreground, things become shorter and shorter and shorter, so you don't have to be afraid that we spend too much time, we're going to spend the same time afterwards.
Okay.
There's a dirty book in Vienna which is called Josephine Mutzenbacher, a pornographic, great. It was written by a great, great writer that created Bambi. Can you imagine? One of the greatest, greatest pornographic stories. And it describes the pornographic behavior of this girl. And you think, well, this is just the beginning, but this is all there is to it. When once she becomes older, it becomes less interesting. You understand? Because what we want to emphasize, and what I never talked about, is the characteristic of Vienna. Of course, if you talk to somebody else, he would say that's absolute nonsense.
But it's your point of view.
That's my point of view, but not enough that. I think it's an objective point of view. So, then, this is very interesting also. Then this was only my relationship with my brother walking through Vienna.
Right, right.
Now he was physically not as fit as I am. He had more pains on the hike. His maybe all these things. He was more precocious. For instance, I want to tell you when he was very young, he was, as a matter of fact, as I talk to you now, I realize something I've never thought about, that he was a 7 months baby. Not 9 months. So he was very weak when he was. But on the other hand, I was weak also. I remember that I could not walk. I was pushed pulled in a cart, and I was sick in my stomach. Always threw up constantly, and it was very. I had a very tender stomach. You understand? But all those things we don't know. Why they are, but you have to go through all these, through this big meat grinder to become something. So I want to come back to my brother's walk. The first, my walk with my friend, then my hike with my brother, then my get together with my Jewish friend who was on a much later date. Irving Brecher is now the millionaire in England, and his girlfriend and my girlfriend and my brother. Can you imagine the situation in Hungary? So, but then we left my brother, and there were arguments and arguments and arguments about the money, about, you know, it's just not the right relationship. And at the time. Before Hitler came, he was again in prison and beaten, and some sort of lost his mind, and was in a institution for a short time.
This is your brother?
Yeah, my brother. And then my relationship. The demonstration, I want again to describe the horrible, I told to you before about Hitler's importance of starting the whole economy. With other words, in my time, there was nothing but deadly hopelessness. There was absolutely no sense of learning anything, so we learned. But there was no sense on top to become a part of it. There was only unemployment in front of me. With other words, Hitler changed this whole thing. He said, that's just like Roosevelt. You know, as you said, you do something about it. You do something about it. So, tremendous hopelessness, tremendous hatred of the Marxistic elements of which I was a part of it towards the capitalists. A tremendous awe in front of money. I remember the time that I was so awed by money that I never lifted my eyes to look in one hotel into which we now go very, very often, at the Bristol. Because it was like looking at God, you understand? So I want to only to characters, the music was Bert Brecht, revolutionary songs, and my brother, the same thing. And then already he started to introduce Zionistic songs, Zionistic literature, songs, singing. No!
Yeah.
Don't you remember that the first makers of Israel were communists, and what's his name? The Jabotinsky. He was a Jewish fascist. I mean, you have to sometimes. I don't believe it, but it seems that sometimes a great militancy of situation requires militant movement. And there was, I don't know if you remember the name Jabotinsky, but you remember Herzl.
Yeah.
Well, Jabotinsky was 1,000 times more important than Herzl. There's absolutely no comparison. You remember the Stern game. Mm-hmm. Well, these are all phenomena. This is the looks of Vienna. Now, Habsburg was completely damned and forgotten and never mentioned by any. One thing of the history of when you go to school is you never learn anything about nowness or before nowness. You come to it and then you stop talking. There's the same thing as in Vienna now. You go through the television or education, Hitler's coming. Finished. They never talk about those sons of bitches. They never talk about it. They never think about it. It's a time, in the cloud, somewhere dubious. They don't come to grip with it. They say, I was a Nazi. I was this laughing, this joyous man in this photograph. If I would be, I would say it. I voted for Nixon. Am I ashamed for it? No, I'm proud of it. Why should I be ashamed of something I did?
Now, when you talk about your associations and your trips and walking trips,
yeah.
This is always with Jewish people, Jewish children, Jewish...
Yes.
You kept to yourself.
There was no question about it, now that you ask me. But not the only friend I had that was Christian, but I did never, strangely mm-hmm. enough, I had never anything... spiritual to do with them, but with the other people I had physical and spiritual to do with them. The girlfriends were Jewish, the people I read were Jewish, Stefan Zweig and Meyring, Hubert Meyring, who wrote The Golem. It was this kind of Jewish great, not illustrative, but great thing. Would you say Stefan Zweig is not a Jewish writer? Of course he's a... What does he if I write about Freud had a very similar relationship between him and society like I. He was very, very...
I read the biography.
Yes.
I'm thinking
he was very, very... He didn't want to have anything to do with Herzl, for instance. Herzl and him were living on the same street. He never met him. Now, I am much more open pro-Jewish because I'm in America, you understand, than Freud was, because Freud was in an anti-Semitic reality. He didn't, so probably people knew he was Jewish, he didn't want, I don't know, it's just insane. The whole relation, the all thing is, all reality is absolutely insane, you know. And when I listen...
Jewish reality.
Jewish reality, any reality. If you listen to a friend of ours, how he was a socialist and what he thought, how great Kreisky is and Marxism, he still believes in the same crap, old crap, you know, and he has not moved at all. I think it's insane. It's absolutely insane. Okay, so I just want you to ask me about this Waldsfield Street and the Kaiser von Schoen. It absolutely nothing to do with this reality. The only greatness of our... the enjoyment and joy of our life was walking and hiking to Italy, through Switzerland, through France, to see the Adriatic Sea, and to go skiing in Austria under great, great hardship. But this was the only... On one hand, you had political consciousness, tremendous, bitter, militant consciousness. On the other hand, you had this belonging to reality. And one day, I was put in front of this consequence. Do you want to be a communist, or do you want to go on a hitchhiking trip? And I said, fuck the communist. I go on a hitchhiking trip. You understand?
Right.
Because it didn't really mean anything to me then. Nothing. The whole thing I really only did because of my brother. Mm-hmm. She's some sort of pulled me into it. And I had great energies of doing and designing things and doing posters, and they were all illegal. You must realize that was all illegal. You would put for into prison, and not enough that, you lost your chance of getting an education. This was the worst thing, that my brother couldn't go back to university, because once you became stamped as a political outlaw, you were through. So I was very careful not to be caught when I, for instance, I remember once I stood in a crowd with a bag of pamphlets, and then all of a sudden I threw them into the air and they came floating down. Oh, nonsense, there was some stupid saying on it. Fight, always fight. Fight, today they have the same stupid slogans. Fight the Zionists. Fight for the cause. Raise your fist against American imperialism. What the hell? I mean, Russia is more imperialistic than anybody can ever be. And there they're still going, the communists. I said, shut up! I would say to them, look at yourself, you crumbs. You want to fight for Zaire and for all these suppressed Nigerian and African communists to make them free. It's all ridiculous. But I only want to describe the true... of course, there were some always people who had money, Jews and Christians who had money. My friend had money, and they had money because the father was in a business that was left by his father. It was a very, very good off business. They lived marvelous. They had more to eat. They had no such... I only want to point out that not everybody was like us. Mm-hmm. But in the same thing with Christians today, you see. And another thing is, we were close together, these rich Jews, with us, because we were Jews and we were, I think, they were more humanistic. But you today, or in whole Europe, you have this distinction between somebody who has money, who has no money. They don't talk to each other. It's a different class. It's like India, you know. A different, absolute different. They talk different. They have a different language. They have different clothes. They go to different places. They go to different coffee places. Everything is different. I mean, when I go with my family to places, I say, my God, how can these people afford this tremendous price? How could they eat so care and invite dozens of people? One general director would invite dozens of people to, and sit on there, and the prices they pay for the drinks and the liqueurs, and when he goes out and treats these people, he really is like a king, you know. He pays a lot. Now today I want to characterize today's situation. Today, especially Austria and Germany is on maybe they're going a little bit down. It's a deflation, but the glamour of Strauss, you know, Willy Bofskovsky is playing Strauss, and the Austrian monarchy is loved by the Russians, by the Czechoslovakians, by Hungarians, who think back in their stupid idiot mind of how great the days were of the Austrian Empire, which they hated then, and they murdered, and they threw bombs, and everything that tried. As a matter of fact, Hungary had this slogan, Nem Nem Soho, never, never again do we want to be. Today, they want to be with the great past of the Austrian Empire. So it has come back powerful, not only powerful, but I would say the only thing that has not come back but is Austrian monarchy. You understand that? Mm-hmm. It's a reality that is unthinkable in America, that you would think back to, we should have a time like Washington, or like Harding, he was a president. Harding, who the hell knows who Harding? With other words, America thinks in terms of planes, one superimposed on the other, you know, like this. Mm-hmm. Austria and Europe thinks like this. Mm-hmm. You understand? Everything is only conceived in historic perspective, and their hankerings, what did you say?
Mesh together.
Historic perspective that goes back to the Romans, you understand? Hundreds of years. That's the reason why I love it there. Because mm-hmm. I love the parallelism of America and the three-dimensional values, you understand my paintings? That's the reason why it doesn't have to sense to talk about my paintings, because what I tell you is my paintings. So there is no sense even to talk about my paintings. This parallelism of incidences of Lincoln's time, Washington's time, Jefferson's time, Nixon's time is only layers, one layer on top of the other, but never anything penetrating that goes three-dimensional, because if you go three-dimensional into America, you start with the English who came to America, and were they pure, naive people? No, they were a society that was thrown out of Europe. They left there because they couldn't stand it in there anymore. It's an entirely different situation. So you have these two blessings and curses at the same time, as Dick Rubinstein said to me. Baruch means blessing and curse. So that's the reason why I'm a Jewish artist, because I